Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Hey, and we start today the exciting Ketzad Mevorchim Al HaPeirot. And so, we want to know how we make brachas. Tosis points out that we seem to cut to this in the middle of nowhere. I mean, when we started off in the first Mishnah, we said, Me'imatai Kohen Kriyat Shema, we said, how can you start off by asking when you haven't told us that? Well, isn't the same thing true over here? What do you mean, Kate Sadma? Tell me first about brachas. I mean, how to make a bracha is the same as the opening of the Masechet. Tosis has a number of possibilities, and we'll see as we go along. I'll bring them up. But one is that it's a continuation of the sugya before, which creates a flow in the Gemara, in which we spoke about a Balkeri's relationship to Birkas Kriyat Shema and to other brachas, which means that we took for granted, specifically in terms of who is allowed to make a bracha. We already introduced the sugya of brachas, so that now, in a sense, we're explaining what was known before. That's a little bit tough, but it's one of the possibilities that Tosis raises. Anyway, so what are the modalities of brachas? So, perot ha'ilan, so on anything that grows from a tree, we say borei priya etz, except for one thing, chutz min hayayin. Wine grows from a tree, and yet ala yayin hu omer borei pri hagefen. Instead of borei pri haetz, we specify borei pri hagefen. Al perot haaretz, and on vegetables, that's what we understand al perot haaretz to mean. On vegetables, we say borei pri haadama, except for one thing, and that is bread, because bread is essentially a vegetable. However, because of the change of bread to a higher level of structure, which is, of course, the issue of the wine as well, but we'll see it's not as simple as it looks. But because of the special nature of the bread and the special nature of the wine, we have a special bracha for them. And remember that the idea of bracha, as we saw back in the nature of the brachas that were given by Yaakov Avinu to the Shvatim, the nature of bracha is specificity and being able to define clearly what the unique attributes are of things. And therefore, the more we are able to define, the greater is the nature of the bracha that we're able to give, because bracha is not simply a thank you. It's an actual giving of one's consciousness into the world to enable things to happen. So except for bread, when it comes to bread, you say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Al hayirakot, and when it comes to greens, so the difference between al perot haaretz. Perot haaretz would include things like tomatoes, melons, and so on and so forth. And on greens, that would include things like lettuce and cabbage and things like that, where we're actually eating the greens, which we refer to today, greens, you know, the green salad. So you also say borei pri ha'adama, because they come as sort of as the fruit of the earth. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's inappropriate, because it's insufficiently well-defined. There should certainly be a difference between the fruit of the earth and greenery, and therefore, when it comes to greens, the bracha should be borei minei disha'im, he who creates the varied types of greens, of grasses, because this is essentially a type of grass. We'll see later on that Rabbi Yehuda also makes a distinction between things that are eaten for their seeds. So let's say on chumus, he wouldn't say that would be a borei pri ha'adama. He would say borei minei ziraim. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Minane mile, where do we get the idea that there is such a thing as a bracha? Well, the Tana Rabbanan. The Torah says when it comes to the Shana HaRevi'it. So for 3 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that the fruits are off limits. And then in the fourth year, it says an amazing thing. B'shana ha-revi'it, yiyeh kol piryo kodesh hilulim la-Hashem. It's something to sing about in the fourth year. Now, what does that mean, something to think, to sing about? Now, what this means is, if you put it into context, I mean, think about it. We're talking about 3 years in which we're told it's not yours yet. And there's something that is still orla. You have no connection to it. It's closed up to you. So if that's the case, then when you're given suddenly the rights to things in the fourth year, and the Torah says the very fact that you're given those rights in the fourth year means that's something to sing over and to be mahalal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over, then the implications are that when you get something from the earth that is now given to you, it is meant for you to sing over. It's meant for you to say something about, to be mishabeach about. And that implies, since it uses the lashon of hilulim, which is many, so then you have at least two levels of singing. one before you eat it and one after you eat it. And therefore, we see from here a bracha, melamed she'tu'unim bracha lifnehem ula acharehem. So there needs to be song, so to speak, halal before and halal afterwards. And mikan amar Rabbi Akiva, from the entire idea of netar revoy, Rabbi Akiva says, you see that the Torah takes for granted in having given you something, you are meant to sing. So asur la'adam she'yitom klum konim she'yivarech. And therefore, a person should never take advantage of anything that is given to him on the earth without his having something beautiful to say about it. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Kodesh Hilulim isn't meant to be taken as Hilulim. We use it to teach us very important dinim about Netar Avoy itself. V'hai Kodesh Hilulim l'hachu di'ata? Hai mi boile, do we not need the two Hilulim? Remember, Hilulim is minimally two. So one Hilul is Chad, we read Hilul as Chilul, because remember that Chet and He are easily confusable and are used oftentimes one to represent the other. So when the Torah says Hilulim, what it means is first Achle, Vahodar Achle, first be Mechalel and then eat, which teaches that if you wish to eat Netar Avoy in a state of lower Kedusha, that is to say, you don't want to eat it in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, where you would be chayev to bring it. So then you must be mechalel it. So we see from here that there's a din of chilul before eating. That's one of the hilulim. And the idach, the second hilulim, is to tell me that the relationship of chilul is to hilul. Namely, only a davar ha-ta'un shira ta'un chilul, which eino ta'un shira, eino ta'un chilul. That when the Torah speaks about fourth year produce, it's only speaking about things that you sing over. Where do you literally sing? In the Beis HaMikdash. What do you literally sing over in the Beis HaMikdash? The Nisuch HaYayin. And that would mean that the fourth year dinim are limited specifically to the vine and not to any other type of fruit. Tremendous Kiddush. So even though there's a din of Orla on all types of trees, when it comes to the din of Netar Ravoy, there is no Netar Ravoy. There's only a Kerem Ravoy. It specifically refers to the vineyard. Fruit of the vine, and only fruit of the vine is also. Now that is a tremendous Kiddush, and obviously that would be in and of itself more than enough for us to learn out of the word Hilulim. And this would be going like Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer Rabbi Yonatan, Deom Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer Rabbi Yonatan, Minayin She'en Omer Bshira El Al HaYayin, Shenemar, we see in the Torah that wine is the only thing that allows you to sing over in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that's not quite true. What it means is the only elements of a korban that allows you to sing over. Obviously, we do halel in Leil Pesach, as Tosis points out. I mean, there we don't do it specifically on Nisuch HaYayin in any way, but that's part of the whole program of the context for the Shechitas HaPesach and so on. But what it means is, in terms of the chiyuv of Shira on a korban, on the akrovas korban, the aveda la aveda, is davka on yayin. Where do we see that? Because in the metaphor that we find in Shoftim, vatom elohim ha-gefen, hichagdalti ati roshai ha-misameach Elohim v'anashim, shall I give up on bringing forth my delicious Tirosh, which makes God and humans so happy? No, God happy? How does wine make God happy? Im anashim misameach, Elohim b'ma misameach, mikan she'en omrim shira, ela al hayayin. So obviously there's this special relationship to song and to music, which would mean that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that in the Beis HaMikdash, that he's enjoying the music. And therefore, if the wine is the only thing that can be the misameach, then it must mean that indeed that's where we say Shira, which teaches us now with the din of Hilulim, that there's also only a din of the Kiddush of Netar Avoy on Kerem Ravoy. So anyway, look, I mean, if you don't agree to any of this, okay, if you hold that Netar Ravoy is the correct way of referring to fourth year produce, not Kerem Ravoy, then therefore, obviously, you reject this limud, okay? You do not believe that Ein Bechalalim Ela Amashim Ahalalim. Okay, so then at least you have one of these Kodesh Hilulim left to teach me the din of bracha. So Hanicha Lamandi Omer, Lamandi Toni, Netar Avoy, Lamandi Omer, who every time a Mishnah mentions the din of fourth year produce, reads it as Neta, a plant. Fine, okay, so he's got at least one of these left. Lamandi Toni, Kerem Avoy, if we change every Mishnah that mentions fourth year produce to read Kerem Avoy, So then he only knows that from utilizing the other hilulim, and therefore he does not have any hilulim left to teach the din of bracha. So ma'ikel amemar, where do we know brachas for? Where do we see this machlokas? The itmar. Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, chatani in every mishnah, kerem revoy, and he changes every mishnah that mentions fourth year produce to read that way. Kerem revoy, there is no such thing as netar revoy. Get it out of here. V'chatani, the other learns in every mishnah, netar revoy. So, okay, we see that there is a machlokas. So at least it would work out according to the Bandi Omro, it's netar revoy, because he obviously doesn't use the Kodesh Hilul. As a matter of fact, even if you learn kerem revoy, you do not have to learn it out of the relationship of hilulim to hilulim, because there's also Gzereshava that teaches the same thing. And if he was mekabel at Gzereshava, he would still have one of the hilulim left over, because anicha yolav Gzereshava, what is the Gzereshava? Tanya Rebbe Omer, Ne'emar kan, lohosif lachem tvuato, v'ne'emar lahalan, utvuat hakorem. So we see that the lotion of tevua is a reference to the vine. So malahalan kerem, afkan kerem. That would mean that specifically when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying the brochas that you will get, it's referring to which brochas on the fourth year shmir of tvuas hakerem. Fine. So then I still have one hilul left, and that comes to tell me brocha. But what about if you don't learn the Gzeres Shava? Then you utilize the other hilulim to tell me that you only say it on the Geffen. And you don't have the Gzeres Shava to teach me that. So then you don't know bracha from Kodesh Hilulim at all, minole. And as a matter of fact, even if you have one of the hilulim left over, but that's only one. And one would undoubtedly we would use to tell me bracha after eating, because after all, when it comes to Birkat HaMazon, it says first v'yachalta v'zavata, then uverakta. But how would we learn out from there what Rabbi Akiva said at Mikan, you're supposed to make a bracha before you eat? Okay, I mean, that doesn't bother me so much, because I could say that, look, it's a kal v'chomer. If a person has already made himself happy with eating, and nonetheless he's mevarech on the state that he's achieved, when he's in a situation in which he's desperate and he's hungry and he's being offered food, I mean, that is obviously he's much more in a position of needing to be thankful for what is being offered him now, right? So lo kol shekein, as Tosus points out, obviously it's not really a kal v'chomer, because if it were, then we would have learnt out the din of brocha rishona on pas from the din of brocha achrona, namely birkat hamazon, with a kal v'chomer, and a kal v'chomer would be d'oraita, and nobody holds it's d'oraita. So anyway, and besides that, I mean, let's say I accept your kal v'chomer, but I mean, we still, now we're left with this problem. So, Ashkechan Kerem, Shar Minim Minayin. According to that Mandi Omar, I mean, the whole brok of Hilulim is still said Dafka in this case. How would I know anything else besides wine? I can learn it out from the vine. No, I can't. Well, how would you learn it out? Well, I would say a Kerem is something that you enjoy and it needs a brocha. So anything that you enjoy needs a brocha. And that's not much of a limud, because I could always say, Yikel HaMifrach, a kerem is very special. Look how much the Torah is makbid on how we treat vines for grapes, because you have to take off olaylot, and there's no such thing on any other kind of pre, so that if the cluster grows improperly, and you just have a row of grapes, one on top of the other, without any branching, you have to give that to the poor. That may very well be the reason why the Torah wants you to treat it with greater kedusha in terms of bracha. But how do you know you bring the bracha on anything else? Well, I mean, but I can bring a raya that that's not true from grain, because there's no din of olaylot on grain. So that's mochiach. The Torah said beferish that you have to say a bracha on grain. That's birkat hamazon. Yeah, but malakama sheken chayevet bechalat. There's also unique things about grain. The Torah is more makbid. Okay, so then I'll prove it from the vine. V'chozer adin. Lo rizek rizev, lo rizek rizev. What's the common denominator? Okay, the common denominator. You can tell me, well, this one has olalois, this one has chala. Fine. But what's the elegant solution? The elegant solution is atzada shava shaban, that apparently something that you are nene from requires a bracha. Okay, so then I learn out from there that af kol davar shenene ton bracha. No, there's another obvious common denominator. The common denominator is that from those two things, from the vine and from the grains, you have to bring it on the Mizbeach. We have Nesachim on the Mizbeach. We have Menachot on the Mizbeach. So the most that you could learn, if you want to learn it out from the common denominator, is that on olives, you'd have to make a bracha, because the Torah brings also oil on the Mizbeach. But more than that, I don't know. I know grain, menachas, I know wine from the Sachim, and I know olives because of the shemen of the menachas, right? Or the other shemanim that we bring. So all of those things are Yisbeit Tzad Mizbeach. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Why would I have to learn out olives from a Mahatzad, for God's sake? An olive is a kerem. Doesn't it say beferish in the Pasuk, Vayivar migadish vat kama va'at kerem zayit? So you see that a vine, a zayit, is referred to the way a kerem is. Om Rav Papa, it's never referred to stam kerem. It's always called kerem zayit ikre. Kerem stam alo ikre. I still would have to learn out olives from the Mahatzad. But anyway, getting back to it. So we've got a problem. So mikom akom kasha. As I said, the most we could learn out is malat sada shavesh v'emshkesh ben tzad mizbeach. So how do you know all other fruits? Okay, I'll tell you, very simple. The Torah lists eretz, chita, v'sor, it goes through all of the various shivas minim, right? Zeit shemen udvash, and it follows that with the pasuk of v'achalta, v'savata, v'irachta. So you see that you need to make a bracha on the shivat haminim, and therefore, I'll learn out from them. Are you enjoying it? Yes. And you need to make a bracha? Okay, so anything that you enjoy, you need to make a bracha. No. I got another problem. The Shivat HaMinim are also unique, because all of them are Chayev Bibikurim. And besides, okay, let's just forget all of this. Even if we would have the limit from Hilulim and everything would be great, we would only have one Hilulim, and then we would have to limit it to Le'acharav. And we would be learning out even from the Shivat HaMinim. We would only know La'acharav because it says V'achalta V'savata V'irachta. Yeah, but I already told you that that doesn't matter to me so much because it's sort of like a Kal V'chomer. Halo kasha da'asi b'Kal V'chomer kishu saveya mevarek kishu rav lo koshekein. All right, fine. Let's take a look overall what we have. Daman di Amar who says neta ravai, okay? Anything. It doesn't work out according to him either, you know? Because even if it was neta ravai, we learned out from Kodesh Hilulim, the whole jazz, there was something wrong with what you said in the first place. Because not everything that we make a bracha on is something that you plant. Did you ever plant eggs? Did you ever plant fish? Did you ever plant meat? I mean, so why are we making brachas on that? We can't learn that out from neta ravai or from any of these limudim. So where would we know? Baser, beitzim, dagim, minole. So obviously, we are taking for granted that one should make a bracha from a simple svara. And that svara is that when you, as a human being, suddenly happen upon a world which is suited for your use, then that means in your intelligent mind that you are called upon to be part of that world and contribute to the world that is giving you that use. It's not, what else would it mean to someone who's conscious? Therefore, it's a svara. What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to sit there like an animal grazing? So because of that, and this Tosfos says, I told you I would mention to you later, this Tosfos says may well be the reason that the Gemara doesn't say Tana Hechakoi. Because since in the end we're going to come down to looking at it as just a logical, natural response to finding oneself in a universe which is attuned to your use in this fashion, it's all because you're part of that universe, obviously, and therefore the functionality is a given to you. So in the same way you understand you're going to have to plant to eat or do whatever your consciousness leads you to do in planning to be able to survive, part of that is your input into a world that is so productive. Tana Rabbana, Asur lo l'adam she'yaneh min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's as if he was moel in the Beis HaMikdash, because everything that is in this world is essentially part of a holy temple, because the entire thing is so beyond our grasp, so much of a pillar, and represents an ongoing dynamic creation, that to just walk around and to take it as if it's there for the taking is exactly the same, like walking into the Beis HaMikdash and finding a piece of meat on the Mizbeach and eating it. Maitakante, so what should you do? Which seems to say, if you took something without a bracha, what do? Go to a chacham. What? Go to a chacham. What is this? A chassidish gemara? What do you mean? What's he going to do? He'll tell you, say 15 Ave Marias. I mean, well, the chacham can't do anything for you if you did an avera, idiot. So my Avidle. Avidle Yisur, I understand. You did something wrong. You're going to go to a Chacham. He's going to wave his hands over you. No, obviously, Marava, I mean, it doesn't mean go to a Chacham after you did it. It means, what can you do? Maita Kante, what can you do to avoid this horrible situation in which you were moel on the world? Go to a Chacham before this happens to learn precisely which brachas to make on what thing. This is not something, if you're conscious, so then you understand. You don't just say something, oh, thank you, God, I am so grateful, and that becomes the bracha. No, that's not a bracha. So if you want to learn what a bracha is, then go to a Chacham, and the Chacham will teach you what a bracha is. Kadesh lo yavoli de me'ila, and that way you won't come to me'ila. Omer Rav Yehuda Shmuel Kol Hanene min Olam Hazeh Belo Bracha Kilu Nehene Mikodshei Shamayim. Shenemar, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the world as if it's part of the Migdash. La Hashem Haaretz Umlo'ah. So then that means it really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Reb Levi points out that this is precisely brought out by contradiction in the Pesukim. On the one hand, it says, L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umlo'ah. And on the other hand, it says, Hashamayim, Shamayim, L'Hashem, V'aretz Atan Livnei Adam. Well, make up your mind. If the Aretz was Atan Livnei Adam, so then how do we say it belongs to the Lord? L'Kasha Kan Kodem Bracha Kan Li'Acha Bracha. And that's exactly the point. Until such time as the human being becomes a partner in this world, it's not his. He's got nothing to say about it, and therefore no right to use it. But at the moment that he becomes the partner in Bereshis with making that bracha, then it's his. Om Rebbe Chanina Bar Papa Kol HaNehneh Min HaOlam Hazeh Belo Bracha Ki Ilu Gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Knesset Yisrael. It is as if you stole. And Rashi says an amazing pshat over here, because now that we're on this darga, the nature of stealing as opposed to me'ila, it's a totally different idea. The nature of stealing, says Rashi, is you stole the bracha. That's the point. Because obviously when we say that the Aretz belongs to Hashem, L'Hashem Ha'aretz Umlo'ah, well, what's he supposed to do with it exactly? Make a feast? The point over there is that that is his holding for the Bria's response. So therefore, if you take it, I mean, I don't give a hang about the food that you ate, you idiot, but you walked off without the point of the food. The point of the food, from my point of view, was to elicit consciousness in the Bria, which you didn't do. You stole that. So you didn't steal the food, says Rashi. You stole the bracha. It's amazing. It's a completely different way of looking at it. And obviously, its usage is for Bishvil Yisrael. So in not contributing to that, you end up depriving Klal Yisrael of all of that which the bracha would have brought, and you stole from Knesset Yisrael as well. Shenemar gozel aviv v'imo v'omer en pesha, somebody who steals from his father and his mother, and he says, I didn't do anything wrong. Chaver hu le'ish mashchit. He's the kind of guy that's got really good friends, the type of people that wreck the world. What is this referring to? Aviv is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar alohu avicha kanecha. Imo is a reference to Klal Yisrael. As it says, Shema b'ni musar avicha, v'al titosh torat imecha. And when it says he's a chaver le'ish mashchit, who would be like an example, a prime example of the ish mashchit? Yeravam ben Nevat. So he goes ahead and destroys the world for everybody else because of his own insufficiencies and inferiority complexes. So because of that, nobody should go to the Beis HaMikdash and we'll set up these idols. It's unbelievable. So because you are a total idiot, everybody should see the way you act and assume, yeah, that's okay. It's all right to act like that, like a total fool. And that's what he did. Sheishkitet Yisrael Avim Shabbat Shemayim. People love taking examples from idiots. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Rami. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the produce of the earth as being his. So that if Klal Yisrael misbehaves, v'lakachti digani b'ito, I will take back my grain. So then why does it say v'asafta diganecha? You will collect your grain. Lokasha. Kam bizman she'Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom. Kam bizman she'ein Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom. So the whole idea of the partnership of a Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, in which the grain is meant for your use and in order to enable you to contribute, obviously is contextual. Tana Rabbana, v'yasavta diganecha. What is the Torah mean to speak about v'yasavta diganecha in the context of Kriyat Shema, where it's talking about the inyan of limud Torah, of limadtem ha'Torah b'neichem, and all of those inyanim? Why is collecting your grain part of the description? I mean, it should say that only afterwards, when it's talking about, and these are the brochas that will come to you, then you will have grain and so on. That's very nice. But what Yosafta de Ganecha is in part of the learning, isn't it? It is. The fish in Emar, Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Hazeh Mipicha. It says in Yoshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, this Sefer Torah shall never for a moment move out of your mouth. You think that means literally that you're supposed to be learning all the time? Yochol Devarim Kichtavam, Tamud Lomar, that's why in the Torah's mitzvah of learning Torah, it specifies V'yasafta Deganecha as part of the learning. Hanheg Bahem Minhag Derech Eretz, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. It means treat the Torah as something that needs to be supported like anything else in life. It's not magical. If you're not going to provide for your survival, then you're not going to be doing much learning, are you? So obviously, v'yasafta deganecha, and when you have time that is available after you have what you need to survive, then lo yamush et sefer Torah mipicha. That's what it must mean. Says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that's insane. Do you really believe that a human being is called upon to be choresh b'shat charisha? Okay, now come the weeks of plowing. All right, I take off for my learning and I'm out in the field. Now comes the time to plant. All right, I take off for my learning and I'm out in the field. Zoreya b'shat zriya. Now it comes time to harvest. Kotzer b'shat k'tira. Now comes time to winnow. It's to what do they call the first stage of winnow? Disha. I forgot how to say it in English. You know, when you pound down the grain. So dash b'shat disha. Now it's winnowing time. So he goes up, huh? Say it.
Threshing.
Thank you, Sir Richard. Exactly. You see, that's what comes of going to India and getting a little taste of real agriculture. V'zoreh b'shat haruach. And then you winnow, you know? I mean, you really believe that a guy like that is going to have any time to learn? Torah mateh aleah. So what's this business? HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects to give you an opportunity to develop yourself and to know what Torah is, you won't have any time. That's ridiculous. Ella, b'zman sheYisrael osim mitzvonot shel makom melachtam na'aseit al-yedei acherim, shenemar ve'amdu zarim uru'u tzonchem. If you're really doing Hashem's rotzon, you're not going to have to do any of this work. The world was created for humans. If you're a human, you won't have to work. The world works for you. U'b'zman she'ein Yisrael osim mitzvonot shel makom, then that's a disaster. If you're not going to be doing what you need to do, you're going to have to do your own lousy work. I mean, can you imagine a human being who is going to have to spend his time digging into the dirt? Does this make sense to you, that a human being is dependent on that? Then that's what happens when you don't live life properly. So malach tam na'aseit al-yedei atzman. That's why it says v'yasafta deganecha. Not only that, things can get a lot worse. If you keep going downhill, man, you're going to end up doing the work for other people. So that the real humans in the world, Klal Yisrael, end up doing the housework of these idiot goyim who are spending their time as barbarians running around and destroying the world, and you'll be the one that are working for them. Fine. Omer Abaye. Now, obviously, something is fishy over here. Because the nature of Kriyat Shema, as we're going to see later on, the whole point of the Asafta Deganecha is, as we said, is a reference to it's your Dagan Kan Kisha Osim Ritzono Shomaka. So that is when you're doing the right thing, the Asafta Deganecha, right? So how can Reb Shimon bar Yochai say that's when you're not doing the right thing? So again, as the Mefarshim explain over here, what we're talking about is obviously a gradated scale over here. Now, what is considered to be the Osim Ritzono Shomaka? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is not referring to the world of Kriyat Shema. The world of Kriyat Shema is indeed our world, in which it's possible for a person to come to a madrega, in which he'll be zoche to v'yasafta deganecha, the dogon at least will be viewed as your own. But you're still going to have a very physical involvement in the world, which is called hanheg ben minag derech eretz. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is obviously moded to Rabbi Yishmael that that is the norm. And that's what Klal Yisrael is subject to most of the time, and that's what they're saying to themselves in Kriyat Shema, right? So when he's talking about his own theory, that this is insane to believe that that's the way it's meant to be, he's pointing out that the Torah is given to us to be able to survive with, but obviously there are some things that are mentioned in the Torah such as Umol Hashem Elokecha Slavavcha Veslavav Zarecha, and so on and so forth. The Torah is meant to bring us to a madriga of a higher level life in which we are not limited in the ways that we begin with in our child and immature states of what we have right now. That is the Ramban says, that there needs to come that time in which Hashem Elokecha is going to be Marchiv Es Gvulcha, which will make the additional cities in the Arei Miklat. That's a completely different way of life. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Chiddush is that an individual can dream of that life and achieve that life as an individual. That's the point. So if you're asking me how to learn, I would say, go into a cave. Yeah, it worked. So basically, I'm telling you that it's possible to have another life. He's obviously not recommending it for everybody, and that's why Abaya points out, Omar Abaya, yep, Harbe Asuka Rabbi Yishmael. Lots of people lead life like Rabbi Yishmael. They have a job, they have a career, they bring home a paycheck, and they also learn Daf Yomi, and that's great. Valtabi Yadam, they ended up being successful. A lot of people tried doing like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and man, did they crash big. V'lo al tabi yadam, they ended up losing everything. And in fact, Rava told the Talmidim of his yeshiva, I'm begging you, I don't want to see your faces in the Beis HaMedrash during those months of the year when you've got to be working in your fields. Bamtuta minaychu, please. B'yomei Nisan, during Nisan, where you're going to have to be doing your planting and so on. B'yomei Tishrei, when you need to be making your oil and your wine. Do not come to this Beis HaMedrash. You think that you're being big shots. The bottom line is that in the end, you're going to be miserable all year round, not having enough money, and coming around and collecting for the kailo. Believe me, that ain't a life. Don't come. Look at the way, you want to talk about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's vision of how things are different. Of course, things are different. When you're talking about the Dorot HaRishonim, they were also Torah Tankva. The thing that mattered in their life was Torah. They had to work, but that was like, I do what I got to do. Malach Tamaroi. The result was they ended up having great parnasa and tremendous achievements in learning. Zovezonit Kaya Biyadam. Dorot HaRishonim, where they believe life is about career and making money. So also Malachon Keva. Well, of course, when I can learn, you know. But then that means that their Torah is Aroi, where they end up running around like rats in a cage, constantly trying to make money, and it's never enough. Lo nitkayim u'piyotam, and they end up never remembering any in their learning either. V'yomer Rabba Bar Bar Chanam, Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Yonah Rabbi Loi, Bo'ore Eit. Look at the difference of how they view mitzvahs. Dorot HaRishonim yoyu machnisim perotayim derech traksimon kedei lechayvan b'maaser. Dorot HaAchronim machnisim perotayim derech gagot, derech hatzirot, derech karfefot, kedei lepatran min ha-maaser. Remember that you're not chayef to take off maaser until after Gemar Malacha, the Meiser is Raya Pnei Habayit. So we spoke about before that a person could be Marim to bring it in with the motes, and that way he can give it to Aroi, to his animal to eat, because that's called Aroi. But there's another issue. The issue is it Raya Pnei Habayit, even if it was after Gemar Malacha? So the earlier Dorot used to make sure that they brought everything in through the front door or the front gate, and that way it would be Chayev and Meiser. Whereas the other Dorot to want to be able to use this for animal feed, that it should be Derech Arai, so that even Midrabanan they would be Potter. So what they do is they bring things in the, like Santa Claus, you know, they throw it down through the chimney. It doesn't have to be the front door, it could be even the front gate to the chotzer. I feel chotzer kovach. The sha'arim includes the gateways to a chotzer v'saveh. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah that says that the only thing that's different is wine. Of all the types of fruit, why do we treat wine differently? So, Maishna Yain. Ilei Mimshum de Ishtene Le Aluye, Ishtene Le Vracha. Is it because of what seems to be obvious, something that is more sophisticated and has been processed in a way that makes it now more valuable and more special, requires a more special bracha? Then why don't we have a special bracha for oil? Oil is certainly an amazingly more sophisticated product than simply an olive. So it's ishtenili luye, and yet we say borei priya eats on oil. The Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel v'chein Omer Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan Shemen Zayit mevorchin olav borei priya eitz. If you have oil, you make a borei priya eitz on. Yeah, but that's because there's no way to make a special bracha. You tell me what the special bracha would be for oil, okay? I dare you. What would you say? Hey, Chinivra, go ahead. We'll say, like we do with borei priya gefen. So we'll say borei priya zayit. Ha, 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 sure. The fruit itself is called the Zayit. So if you say Borei Pri HaZayit, then what you're saying is, he who created the fruits of this olive, which means God was the one who pressed the olive and turned it into olive oil, which is not true. So therefore, what should we say? Oh, come on, man, that's not the reason. I mean, you can always say Borei Pri Eid Zayit, okay? If you want to make a difference between the fruit and the tree, just mention the tree. That can't be the reason. Ah, I'll tell you the reason, says Barzutra. Chamra Zayin, Mashka lo Zayin. It's because wine is nourishing. Oil is not nourishing. What are you talking? Oil is not nourishing, boy. Check your stomach. Mishka lo Zayin? V'atnan hanodem in Amazon mutar b'mayim u'b'melach. Somebody who says, I will not eat mazon. He's only allowed to eat, if he makes a neder, water and salt. And we said, what? Water and salt? That's the only thing that's not called mazon. What? Everything else is called mazon. So then that would be name it avit yuvta ravishmul the amre ein mevorkum borei b'nei mizonot elu b'chamisha aminim b'vad. If you're telling me that carrots are called mazon, why can't I say borei b'nei mizonot on a carrot? Why does he say it has to be a type of grain? So we corrected ourselves over there, and we said it's talking about a case where a guy made a neder that anything which is nourishing, kol hazan, is usur alai. So we say the only thing that's not nourishing is just pure water or salt. But that would mean that oil is nourishing. So what are you telling me? Oil doesn't nourish and wine does? Hama mashka zayin. Okay, I don't mean that. What I meant was that wine actually satisfies you, but oil doesn't satisfy you. Wine? Wine satisfies you? I thought, didn't Rava say that if Rava wanted to drink, he would drink the entire day of Erev Pesach so that he would be hungry at night to eat more matzah. So, I mean, obviously it's not satisfying him because he's doing it in order to eat more. That's true. If you drink a lot of wine, it will, in fact, increase your appetite. But a little bit of wine will satisfy you. And what makes you say that wine satisfies you at all? Mitzayt klal? Doesn't it say, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh? Wine will make your heart happy, but bread will levav enosh yis'ad. It will satisfy your hunger. Which implies that only the bread is truly satisfying, but the wine only makes you happy. Happy. No, that's not how to read it. The wine will make you happy and the bread won't, but the wine will also be soyed. It's saying bread will only make you satisfied. Wouldn't you rather be happy and satisfied? So, lechamra eat betarte, soyed umisameach, whereas the nahama, the bread, is only soyed, but samuche lo misameach. Wait, I mean, so if this is really true, I don't understand. So then why don't we say Shalosh Brochas? I mean, if the idea over here is that it's actually Mezin, so why don't we say Birchas HaMazon on there? And that's because Lo Kavi Inchi Sudatai Olayu. People are not normally Koveya Suda. And the idea of Achalta V'Savato V'Rachta is the Achila of Akvias. Okay, so what would be, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak to Rava, and if somebody wants to have a wine soda, so would he actually have to say, Birkat HaMazon? Omale, look, buddy, I'll tell you. When Elio comes and he announces the coming of Mashiach, and then there may be people around that are able to be Koveya Soda on wine, you go ask him, okay? So, you want me to tell you what the din is now? The guy's insane. And we do not take insane people as being a basis for halacha. So, if you want to go ahead and do your nutty stuff, go right ahead. Gufa. Let's get back to what we said about Shem and Zayit. You're supposed to say a Bori Priya Eitz on Shem and Zayit. Can you tell me precisely when you would make that bracha? Okay? You've got a cup of oil in your hand. Ah, Baruch Atah Hashem, Borei Priya Eitz, you drink down a cup of oil. Wrong. because ilem et kashati le uzuki maskik le. I'm sorry, but that's an extremely unhealthy thing to do. And we are not koveya brokas on things that are unhealthy. Tanya hashoteh shemen shel truma. I'll prove it to you. Because it's not considered to be drinking at all. V'horaya, if a non-Kohen drinks oil of truma, the din is that we treat it as if he damaged the truma and not as if he ate the truma. How do we know that? Because if a czar eats truma, he has to pay an additional fine of a chomesh. If he just damages truma, then he just pays for the damages. And now look, as if he drank a cup of oil of truma, he pays damages, and that's all, just damages. Take a look at Barnea, as wants to show people a cup of oil of truma. Can you put it right up at the, that's right. He wants to show people a full cup of oil of truma because he's a Kohen. And now he is going to drink it just to show how Kohanim sometimes destroy truma. Oh my gosh, but that's an iser because he's destroying that truma. Barnea, this is the way to do it. You make tea, not oil. There you go. Of course, but that's Barnea's neighborhood. Right now we're in the world. So anyway, the idea over there would be that he's only causing damage. If he's only causing damage, he does not make a bracha. That's for sure. So where do you say Borei Priya Eitz on oil? Eino Mishalem Es HaChomesh. If he would use oil to rub into his skin, then he would pay the Keren V'Chomesh because that is a proper misuse. So Ella, what's the case? I'm assuming that you mean the case is that he's eating this oil as a dip, right? Okay, so he's got delicious oil mixed with garlic, and he's dipping his bread into it. I got news for you. You do not say Borei Priya Eitz when you dip your bread into oil, because then the bread is the ikar, and the oil is the tafel, and then you would make a bracha on the bread, and you would not make a bracha on the oil at all. So that would be pat ikar, and the hu tafel, if it's not zeklal. The overall ruling is that koshu ikar v'imo tefela, you always are mevarach on the ikar and you're poter on the tefela. So when the heck do you ever make this so-called bracha on oil, which is borei priya eitz? I've never heard of such a thing. Ela de kashati le ayede anigron. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about you're drinking this oil as one of these health drinks. Now, what is an anigron? An anigron is borscht, which can sometimes be mixed with a lot of oil. D'yomer Rabba Bar Shmuel, a nigron is borscht, maya de silka, that's water that you made boiling beets, and ansigron, that's V8 juice, and that's maya de kulu shalke. That's like all the different kind of vegetables, you put them into a stew, cook them up together, and you sell it as V8. So over there, if you did that, you still would not make a bracha on the oil because it's the borscht, that's the ikar, and the oil is the tafel. And once again, why am I making a Borei Priya Eitz on the oil? V'tanan zeh klal kol shu'u ikar v'imo tvela mevarech al ikar v'poter at tvela. Ah, I'll tell you why. Because hachem ma'yaskinan, you know where the case would be? The one case where we would actually value the oil more than the borscht, and therefore we'd have to make the bracha on the oil, and that's where Rabbi Yochanan is coming along to say that the bracha on the oil would be Borei Priya Eitz. It's talking about that you got a sore throat. The Tanya, HaKoshesh Bigro, no, somebody's got a sore throat, and it's Shabbos. So what's he going to do? Lo Ya'ar Eno Bashemen Techila B'Shabbat. So you're not allowed to do things that are clearly only being done for refuah. So don't take the oil and gargle with oil. But what you can do is you can put a lot of oil into your borscht and then drink it down. And then you would, in fact, be doing something that is a normal act. So you see that this is something that people will drink. But your intent over here can well be to cure your sore throat, but that's perfectly okay. You're allowed to have normal things that don't appear to be done specifically for refuah, and that the Chachomi never asked Bishum refuah. They only answered specific medications and things that may bring you to grind up ingredients on Shabbos. But that you'd be allowed to do. But meanwhile, you'd have to make a bracha on it. So which bracha would you make? You would make the bracha of Borei Priya Eitz. Isn't that obvious? I mean, I know that from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said the only type of fruit that is different is the yayin. So obviously it's telling me that. I mean, so why is it necessary to say Borei Priya Eitz? Oh, I'll tell you. Because Mada Tema came into the Refua Kamachavin Lo Librachala Klal. The point that Rabbi Yochanan was making over here is that since the only case that we could really come up with where we do make this bracha would be where I put in a lot of oil, which I would only do because I've got a sore throat. So maybe such a thing is not really considered to be a hanah from a foodstuff, and therefore I wouldn't even make a bracha on it. Because it would be like drinking medication. So that's the main point. The main point is that even as an ancillary effect, the fact that I would have hanah from it, that itself is sufficient to be mechayev me in a bracha.